Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Morning.
Everybody awake?
No.
Everybody ready to praise the Lord?
Yes.
Amen. 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 All right. Let's see. Hopefully that's going to hold. I don't know which way I was turning it. Righty, tighty, lefty, loosey, I guess. All right. Well, let's get ready to praise the Lord. Paul, we're already recording, set up. Do the best you can.
And live.
All right, and you guys that are joining us online, we thank you for joining us early, bright and early this morning. Give people just a couple minutes to get set, and then we're going to get rolling. Y'all ready?
We're ready.
All right.
I think so.
Clearing out the cobwebs, right?
Yeah.
You start with number 6. It's apropos, Arise, Shine.
Arise, shine, for the light is come. Arise, shine, for the light is come. Glory of the Lord is risen. Glory of the Lord is come. Glory of the Lord is risen upon me. Shout it if you love my Lord. I want to know, yes, I want to know.
just like we flew around.
Let's do God is Moving.
Give the Lord a cheer. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Y'all can be seated. I mean, that song's an awesome song. We used to sing that song all the time back in the little white farmhouse there in Vermont. It was when I used to lead worship, if you can believe it. I used to call for that song a lot. And I just want, I mean, before we go out of here, look, we have testimony right in this room. Right in this room. We don't have to go outside of this room. We've got testimony right in this room of God moving. We've got testimony of deliverance from drunkenness, drug addiction, raising from the dead, broken legs, people who could not walk, the lame who could not walk, walking. Ann's an example of that right there. We got examples throughout this congregation of God's move. And we've got it where people have laid hands. We got it where God has just handled it. Karen just the other day was sick. You guys remember Karen being sick, right, when she got here? First day of service, in the middle of service. In the middle of service, boom, she was healed. Karen had asthma for years, right? And Karen came down to Davie, and asthma is a demonic spirit. Medical profession wants to tell you that it's a natural illness. Well, it's not exactly the most pleasing thing in the world to hear that you got a demonic spirit, is it? Anybody here, like when you come to somebody, I mean, my wife one time with me, she had come over. We were reading the Bible together. And every time we'd read the Bible together, my wife would fall asleep. That ain't right. Where is she? There she is. That ain't right. I used to really please my wife when we first got married, because I'd say nice things to her like, hey, hon, you know, that's a demonic spirit. And worse yet, you picked that up in church. You know why you picked it up in church? It's part of that inoculation to try it, that the churches minister, because the churches are not in obedience to God, and they minister these things that rob people. They rob Christians of their birthright. They dull down their senses so that they cannot receive and go forward. I mean, if you read the Word, what we're talking about in the Word are the people going forth. You tell me in the Scripture, whether you begin at the beginning or whether you go through the book of Acts or anything, I don't care where you go, what is always manifest? The power of God moving through people who believe. That is continuously the testimony of the Word of God. And you go to a church and that's not the case, and it dulls you down. You don't think that stuff's right, and you think you're okay without that stuff. Who was it Davey was talking about last night? Was it Davey who was preaching about? Oh, it was in the after meeting. I think he was talking about out of Mark 16, you know, how do you know you're saved? Remember, he was talking about the Blairs over there and the like. I mean, how do you, you know, people say, I'm saved. I'm a sanctified saint. How do you know that? How do you know that? Oh, because I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. So? I mean, look at all the people in Israel who were touched by Jesus' ministry. And when the Pharisees and the rulers came out, after they had, the week before, had laid down garments and everything as he came in his triumphant procession into Jerusalem, the very next week, what are they saying? Crucify him and give us Barabbas. Boy, let me think. I mean, were they sanctified saints? I mean, they were accepted by their religious leaders. They were just doing what they told them. But were they sanctified saints? You know, the Word of God is quick. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides. It divided my wife from that demonic spirit, that we could read the Word together and she could receive. I mean, when my wife came here, we go into the camper with Davey one day, and this is what she described herself as. She described herself as a, you know, if you opened up a golf ball and you see all those rubber bands. And these are her words, not my words. Her words were, and they were serpents, and they had heads on them. And you had been in church, you'd accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior when you were 10, and you were 28 at that time. This was 18 years later. My wife didn't know whether she was a sinner after 18 years in the church. Did not know if she was a sinner. Read the word, fall asleep. Is that a pretty picture? Yet she was a leader in that church, and that church was huge. In 13 years, that church had gone from a little home church with a couple people to on in Europe, in America, in multiple nations in Africa, in Australia. The church, the home church where it was 5,000 people. And she was moved into a leadership position. And she didn't even know if she was a sinner. And inside, she was all bound up. And there was nobody there in that entire church who had the word to set her free. Do some of you wonder, you look at people who are moving forward and getting things, do some of you wonder, am I going to get something? Any of you fear that you might be left out? I raised my hand, too, for those who couldn't hear, who didn't see out there in radio land. Because, look, you know that says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge? See, when you realize that God is real and you can see him and you can see what he has done and you aren't getting it, that's a provoking place to be. Is that a comfortable place to be? Nah, man, it's not a comfortable place, but it puts you on your knees. It puts you on your knees if you believe God. And then what happens? What's it say? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and then you'll stand up. He shall lift you up. He shall lift you up. He loves each and every one of you. He has those angels that we talked about last night, that Richard talked about last night, that are here, are going to come into this sanctuary bearing gifts for you. Don't miss it, folks. Don't miss it. And don't think that somehow or other you can't partake, because that's the place. When you get down on your knees, the hope. I remember last night as I was on my knees praying and feeling pretty lousy and feeling pretty cast off, feeling pretty like all of you guys were going to get stuff and I was going to be left behind. What happened with me, and it's happened so many times over 22 years, I can't number them, is that in the midst of that, it brings me to a place where I hope in the goodness of God. I hope in the fact that he actually wants me to receive. I may not feel like I'm going to get anything. I may not feel any different, but I hope that he won't forget me and that he'll yet love me and that he'll yet let me partake. And it's an amazing thing. You don't know how many times in my walk that I have reached that place where I just feel like I am a goner. And God moves so mightily to let me know that I'm not, that there's not a good thing he hasn't promised in his word that is not right there for me. When I came to the Lord 22 years ago, and I came to the Lord, first of all, because finally somebody told me the truth. And I remember, I mean, it was Davey, and I remember thinking as he was telling me that, I was coming from New York City. Kaylee, I think you know what that can be like. I was coming from New York City, and, you know, I was going to save the world. I was going to do this, that, and the other thing. But everywhere I looked, I kept finding, nah, that's not it. That's not it. That's not it. And when I heard him speak the truth to me, I just knew that this was true. But I had to look at him and go, this guy certainly isn't my idea of what a man of God would look like or act like or be like. I don't think he fit anything I would have ever thought that a man of God could be. And he ministered and he asked me, he said, do you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And I remember thinking to myself, I cannot believe I am doing this. Because, I mean, when I got here, Jesus and him crucified was the least likely thing to be true in the entire universe. And now I believe that he's the only thing that's true in the universe. Wow, man, how wrong could I be? That wrong. Wrong about everything. And when I received the Lord and he began ministering to me then, and the Lord took me through, and Davey, remember this, he took me through the Bible in chronological order, and about what was probably then, we had already been in a Bible study essentially for about 19 hours straight at that point in time. And we didn't stop then, and he took me through the Bible in chronological order. And it was like, I don't know how to really describe it to you folks. I thought this would happen to everybody when they believed. I didn't realize there was anything unique about my experience that way. But it was the way in which I described to folks, like you skip stones. My children like to skip stones, don't you, boys? We get out and we skip stones across the river. Well, if you can imagine, you know, Boston being Genesis and Europe being, you know, Revelation, and you skip a stone, and every place that that stone hits is just a highlight of the scripture, just a highlight, not the entire thing, but a highlight. But as you hit that highlight, the bottom drops out, and you can see every mountain and valley and fish in the sea from Genesis to Revelation. I came out of that Bible study, and I knew the word on day one as a Christian. And I... And he was telling me the stories of Elijah and telling me the stories of these things. And to me, the entire thing was, I want to walk like they walked. Now, I've tasted of it, and I've had some, I mean, praise the Lord. The Lord has not left me witnessless, and he has enabled me to partake of many things. But I know, my God, let me just tell you, I know, notwithstanding anything I've partaken of, that there is so much more. I mean, there is so much more. I mean, just, it's almost like when you look at it, you're like, oh, my God, I mean, I've been in this 22 years, and I am only here? You got to be kidding me, man. I am a complete and total failure, an idiot. Now, who likes to feel that way? Anybody like to feel that way? See, this is why people don't go forward, is because we run from this. We run from this. What? I'm an idiot? No, I'm not an idiot. Yes, you are. It says the truth shall make you free. As long as you're going, well, I'm not an idiot. I know some. That might be true of him, but not me. I mean, when you're in that position, you're going backwards, folks. You're going backwards. You're the one that the word is dividing, and you're going the wrong way. When the word testifies and says, oh, my God, I'm a freaking disaster, and you go, yes, Lord, what do I do about it? How do I change this? Because, I mean, how do you fix stupid? You know, how do you fix stupid? But, you know, the word, I mean, it's the word fix is stupid. I mean, it's an amazing thing. What's he saying? I mean, the other guys, they were complaining because they weren't men of letters. Now, I mean, I'm a man of letters, so I can understand what that's all about. Davey wasn't a man of letters. Now, don't hear me wrong. Davy was not stupid. I don't mean to say that at all. But he was not a man of letters, you know, with credentials that the world looked at and went, oh, he's gone to this college and this university and this, that, and the other thing. The credentials he had were the credentials that came by the Holy Spirit of God. And those are the only credentials that you need. And when you got those credentials, there's nothing you can't do. I mean, anything you read in the scripture, whether you're reading it in the Gospels, whether you're reading it in the Old Testament, whether you're reading it in the book of Acts, anything you read in that scripture, if you will but believe it, you can do it. It's that simple. He says, he will make known unto you his word. He will make known. Do you think that he cannot make known his word unto you? I mean, how many people here were like A-plus students? They graduated top of their class. Any of those here? Oh, we got Brad. Okay, no wonder he's having problems. but you follow what I'm saying? Joan, you were top of your class, right? And I know Karen, I know Jean, Karen's sister, was just like, she was the standard by which all of her classmates were judged. You know, look, we're not that way, but who cares what you're capable of? This is not at all about what you're capable of. It's about what God is capable of. So, you know, the thing is that, I mean, I know for myself, I remember those first days and I remember those promises. Many of the promises are the exact same things you're hearing preached here today. I mean, it hasn't changed. It's been the same for 40 years, right, Ann? It's been the same. Nothing's changed, right, Rob? 37 years now for both of you. It's never changed. And do you want to walk in the promises that we've been hearing for 37 years? Do you really think we've got it all? We've just been, people just look at you and me and they just go, wow, man, that's Elijah, you know, that's Deborah, that's whatever, you know. We look at it and we shrink down and think, man. And it was funny, the other night, when I first came to Lord, and some of these folks were around when I first came to Lord, when we would go into a Bible study, every single Bible study was like an explosion of light for me. I mean, I don't know how to describe it. It was like an utter explosion of light every single time. Davy would say one word and like 16 scriptures from all through the Bible would come to my mind. And I used to be, I mean, you guys would be in the Bible studies with me. I mean, Davy would be leaving, but I'm like, you know, questions and saying, isn't that this? And isn't that the other thing? And then, I mean, it was like a wildfire. It was like, wow, wow, wow. I couldn't wait to get to Bible study because it was so wow. I had never experienced wow like that. And if I missed a Bible study, man, I was mopey. Like, I had to be away. I felt like I was just drained, just completely drained. All the gas had gone out of my engine. And all I wanted to be was in Bible study again. Please, let me be in Bible study again. And I'd wake up every morning. You guys knew I'd wake up every morning. What'd I do? I read the Bible. I read the Bible for an hour. And then I'd go to work. And when I'd go to work and I didn't have breakfast and I didn't have lunch, so I read the Bible again. I'd get tired. I'd read the Bible again. And then that was all right. But then I got to go to Bible study. Wow. Cool. I mean, we used to have a lot of Bible studies. Tuesday night, Wednesday we had a thing. Friday we had a thing. Sunday we had a thing. Sunday night we had a thing. And Monday we sat around in fellowship, which was okay. But it wasn't Bible study, let me tell you. I mean, and that kind of utter excitement that I had, I was praying to the Lord because we've been here and I'm 22 years in, and I don't know if it's just that it's different or there's something wrong with me, you know what I mean, because I wasn't having the same experience. And so I'm down on my knees praying and saying, Lord, have mercy upon me. Quicken me like you once quickened me. Restore unto me that just unbelievable excitement about having the opportunity to get into your word and be in a Bible study. And he's been doing it, praise God. And so, look, folks, I say this because we have all sorts of different kinds of folks here. We have new folks. Don't limit God. You know, the Dake Bible we read, a lot of us, we used to use all the time. And you remember, David used to give us all Dake Bibles when we go. Dake was no scholar. He could barely read. And he prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And about 3 months into his being a Christian, the Lord just revealed the word to him. And he used to be able to quote chapter and verse. Never even read it. Never had even read it because he couldn't read it. Never even read it and could quote chapter and verse. I mean, look, there is nothing that God cannot do for us if we will but believe him and lay our lives down. Nothing. Every one of us. So look, let's get it while there's getting. Let's get it while there's getting. Let's not miss a thing. Remember that song from, what's that movie with, he's singing it to his daughter, actually? Armageddon. I mean, that song, can't listen to that song, but he's singing, I want to just cry, ball, you know. Like, but, you know, I don't want to miss a thing. Do you want to miss anything?
No.
Well, then get serious. You don't have to miss a single thing. Get serious. Get on your knees. Have mercy upon me, Lord. Please don't let me miss any of the getting that there is to get. Please don't let me miss it. Please, please, please. And the Lord, he will answer.
Amen. I'm not going to take a lot of time here because Steve took it all. And I just want to highlight something to you to keep in mind. If I can find it. I think it's Luke 21. Find out here if I'm right in a minute. In verse 8. Yeah, one little side note here on what Steve was saying. If you think you just can't get it, that you're not smart enough, that you're too evil, that you're not good enough for God to use and put his spirit in you and move you. I want to give you an example of someone who can show you that's not true, and that's Robin. Stand up, Robin. Let me embarrass you in front of everybody. Robin went for years thinking that she was the most unworthy and the dumbest person in the world when it came to the Lord, and there's no way God could love her. And I mean, on and on. Anything that you could say bad, it was Robin. There was not one good thing about her in her mind. And then she made a switch. She got it. She got it in that it didn't matter. Amen? It didn't matter. God was greater than she is. See, when you get that place where God is greater than you, then you can move out. But as long as you think you're greater than God, and you may sit there and say, well, I don't think I'm greater than God. When you think that God isn't great enough and big enough to move through you in spite of you, then you're thinking you're greater than God. Amen? Yeah. Sit down. But you got to come through it. Now, I'm not going to take a lot of time. No more than a couple hours. I want to read something to you. And to Luke 21, verse 8. Jesus speaking here. He said, take heed that ye be not deceived. Take heed that ye be not deceived. This is a warning. And this is a warning that he gives to his disciples and to others. But one I've heard in the churches preached wrong over and over and over again. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. Take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. And there's another place in here where he gives the same thing, but it just says it a little differently. It says they shall deceive many. Now, I've heard this preached for years that he's talking about false Christs. Anybody else hear that? But it's not talking about false Christs. It's talking about preachers who come in the name of the Lord and say that Jesus is the Christ. And that's about where their truth ends. From there on out, it's a lie. God is on your side. Really? How do you know? Somebody says, I know God. Yeah, but does God know you? Well, he knows everybody. Really? Who told you that? Jesus himself says, many shall come in my name. Or so many shall come saying, Lord, Lord, who shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven? When he gets down to the end, that's in Matthew 7. He gets down to the end and says, I never knew you. A lot of preachers out there. A lot of preachers. A lot of them come saying, I come in the name of the Lord. And they say that Jesus is the Christ. But they deceive you. And the only way you can keep from being deceived is by knowing this word. Somebody might say, preacher, what makes you any different than anybody else? What makes you different from these other preachers? Well, one thing, I'll always tell you, check me out by the word. Don't take my word for it. Read this book for yourself. Read this Bible. Learn this book. It's God's letter to you. It's his operation manual. You know, Gail knows, if all else fails, read the instructions. A lot of Christians, I mean, that was a great trip I had with Gail. She reminded me of a lot of Christians. She's out there in her motorhome in a parking lot driving figure eights in the parking lot. And I'm asking her, Gail, what are you doing? Got on the radio. What are you doing, Gail? Trying to get my TV to come in. I said, what? Trying to find the signal with my antenna. I said, park that thing. I went over there and got in there. I said, all you got to do is turn this thing. Well, I didn't know that. Read the instructions. I had fun with Gail. Oh, I did. She get frustrated, mad. But, you know, it's the truth. Read the instructions. And you'll know how to do a thing. You won't be out there in the parking lot looking silly, turning figure eights. Amen? Go We'll talk more about this at another time. But I want to give you that thought to think about. And if you go on and read a little further. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. The great earthquakes and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilence and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. And it goes on and on. And we are seeing stuff like this now. It happened to the children of Israel. It's going to happen to us. Put your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will set you free. His truth, His word will set you free. Amen. How come you're not up here playing music, Rick? I guess we're going to have breakfast here soon. And then we'll be back later on. God bless y'all.
You too.
Turn your eyes. Dismissed.